welcome to the Meta Church Podcast. We're thankful that you're taking part of your day to spend it with us, and we pray this message encourages you, inspires you, and leads you to experience the transformative power of Jesus in your life.
Well, welcome everyone to Easter Sunday at Meta Church. Whether you're watching at home, watching at house church, listening on the podcast, just want to take a special moment or take a moment to say thank you for joining us on this special Sunday as we celebrate Easter together. And I want to begin by talking about something that we're all familiar with, something that we all know about, maybe even something that we all have. I want to talk about scars. S-C-A-R-S, scars, like real life scars, not the scar from The Lion King, but like real life scars, okay? And I want to make it as easy as possible for everyone to be involved. So here's what I want you to do. Raise your hand if you know what a scar is. Okay, raise your hand, hold it up high if you know what a scar is, like a real scar, not like, you know, a scab, like that little itchy part of your skin when you cut yourself or nick yourself, like a real scar. Raise your hand, okay? Look around the room. Everyone should have their hands raised, okay? Now keep your hands raised. If you have a scar, okay, keep your hands raised if you have a scar. Everyone, again, look around the room. I'm guessing that, you know, many of us, if not most of us, have scars. You can put your hands down, okay? Most of us have scars. Some of them are big. Some of them are small. Some of them are obvious, like we can see them. Some of them are not so obvious. They're hidden or covered by our clothing. Some of them are serious, like maybe you got a scar because you underwent a surgery of some kind. Some of them are not so serious, like you fell and just happened to leave a scar. Now, I've got a ton of scars. I was your typical boy growing up, getting involved in all sorts of mischievous stuff, doing stupid things, getting hurt, getting injured, dinging up my body in all sorts of ways. I've got so many scars that I actually have favorite scars, and I want to tell you about a few of them, okay? I'll start right up here at the top of my head. I don't know if you can see it, but there's like a line somewhere in this area, a faint line where I have a scar, and that one happened when I was 5 years old. I was over at my aunt's place in Queens, in Jackson Heights, and I was running on the sidewalk at night, and there was a part of uneven pavement that I didn't see, and I tripped over that, and I fell, and I hit my head along one of the front iron gates or the front iron post in front of one of the homes, busted my head open, had to get rushed to the emergency room, ended up getting 5 stitches on the top of my head that night. I've got another scar that, again, I don't think you can see it unless it was like zoomed way into my face, but I've got a scar right on my right eyelid and just underneath my right eyebrow where I got bit by a dog. I was at my parents' friend's home and their dog, I was inside and their family dog was there and sitting by the front door. I wanted to go outside, but if I opened the door, it was the kind of dog that would like take off running and never come back. And so the owner was like, well, we'll just kind of push it to the side. So legit, I went to push the dog to the side and the dog wasn't having it, jumped up and bit me. And I was fortunate that the injury wasn't more severe or more damaging than it was. I just have this kind of scar here. I've got another scar on the inside of my knee. I was a 10-year-old kid riding a bike downhill, pedaling as fast as I could. Ended up getting a case of like the speed wobbles where like the bike just started kind of, I lost control, flipped over the handlebars, had a huge gash on the inside of my knee. Ended up needing to get 30 stitches to repair that or to fix that. Like, I mean, my mom was freaked out. She was not happy with me. But my favorite scar, my all-time favorite scar, is actually one that I have right here on the top of my right hand. And it's a gash that I have. It's a couple inches long or so. But I incurred this when I was beating up my roommate in Bible college. I got in a fight with my roommate at Bible college, ended up getting this huge gash that busted open, blood everywhere. I won the fight. Doesn't matter. Another story for another day. But I have all these scars. And the reason I bring this up and the reason I talk about it is the reason we know about scars is because of something else that we're all familiar with, something else that we've all experienced, something else that we've all encountered, which are wounds. The reason we have scars, the reason we know about scars is because we've all experienced and we're all familiar with wounds. And in case you don't know or in case you're unaware, our scars, our physical scars, are our body's way of handling and repairing itself and showing that the wound has been healed. It just happens naturally. For instance, this scar on my hand, when the gash happened, I didn't have to tell my body, okay, now you need to heal yourself, now you need to scar over. It just healed. It just did it on its own. So with that in mind, I want to pivot by asking you another question, or a question along these lines. Wouldn't it be nice if our emotional wounds healed as quickly and as naturally as our physical wounds? I'm not gonna ask you to raise your hands, but inside, just consider for a moment, ponder for a moment, wouldn't it be nice if the emotional wounds you've encountered would heal in such a way as our physical wounds do, where they scar over, we don't think about them, we move on from our lives. Wouldn't it be nice if our body just kind of produced these, quote, like, emotional scars, where it takes care of the problem? And anytime we felt rejected, anytime we felt ashamed, anytime we felt devalued or abandoned or forgotten or unloved, anytime we experienced a wound from something like that, that our body would just produce an emotional scar that would take care of itself, it would just heal, and it would just be like, okay, we don't even think about it. I mean, I know for me, I'd be great with that. But unfortunately, that's just not the way it is. When it comes to our emotional and our spiritual wounds, they don't heal as naturally or as easily as our physical wounds. In fact, what I found in my own life is that my emotional wounds and my spiritual wounds can often reappear or resurface time and time again. My own emotional wounds can reappear and resurface time and time again. I'll give you an example of what I mean. When I was 10 years old, okay, I'm 35 now. When I was 10 years old, my parents separated. And the wound that came out of that separation led me to believe that if I were good enough, my parents would have stayed together, that things would have worked out, that I would have been okay, or that everything would have been okay if I, Ricky, was good enough in that situation. And now, despite that being 25 years ago, there are moments where that wound will resurface. There are moments where that wound will reappear or be reopened. And I'll think about it, or a situation will happen, and it will take me back to that moment. But I'm not alone in this. I'm not the only one, because here's the thing. We all have wounds. We all do. It doesn't matter if you're young or old, male or female, black, white, rich, poor, Latin. It doesn't matter if you grew up in the United States or grew up in another country. No matter who you are, we've all experienced hurts and wounds. And my guess is that although your experiences might be different than mine, your wounds are not all that different. And the reason for that is because all of us, as I said, experience wounds, but all of us have these core needs. All of us have these core desires that are largely the same. We're human beings. And anytime those things are either compromised or threatened, we end up experiencing a wound or a hurt of some kind. And as humans, again, black, white, young, old, male, female, born in the United States, born outside of the United States, speak English, speak Spanish, doesn't matter what your experiences were, your upbringing, your personality, all of us at our core, these are these indelible needs. And I'll list them for you. I'll put them up on the screen so that you can see what I'm talking about. There's kind of four common needs, or four core needs, that we all share in common. And the first, there's security, there's acceptance, there's love, and there's hope. Security, acceptance, love, and hope. We all want security. It is a need of ours. We want to be stable. We want to know that things are going to be okay. We want to know that things are safe and secure. It's why we get flustered when all of a sudden we get a lease renewal and our rent's going way up. It's why we get scared or worrisome when our job might be in peril or our company might be transitioning. We want security. It's a core need. It's why we want to be in the same place. It's why we want to feel established. Not only that, but we want acceptance. We want to belong somewhere. We have this core need. We want to belong to a tribe, to belong to a community, be connected with a peer group, be connected with friends, people that accept us where we are. And beyond that, we have this need for love, where we are intimately known, where someone else or several someone else's potentially know us for who we are, and they just love us despite our shortcomings, despite our insecurities, despite our imperfections. We need to feel love. Our parents, our marital partner, whoever it might be, we need to encounter and need to have this love. And then we need hope. We need to know that tomorrow is going to be better than today, that what we're set to encounter or set to experience in the future is better than what we've encountered or what we've experienced in the past. We need this. We need to believe for something better in the future. And anytime one of those needs is not met, anytime one of those needs is endangered, anytime one of those needs is threatened, we suffer a wound. But we don't just suffer an emotional wound. In fact, it goes far deeper than that. Because these are spiritual needs. This list of needs on the screen are spiritual needs, which means they produce spiritual wounds within us. Yet so often we are unaware of this reality. So we kind of go about our days and we try to make the most of it and try to satisfy these spiritual needs in relatively like temporal ways. Ways which ultimately, inevitably, end up leaving us even feeling greater hurt or experiencing greater hurt or deeper wounds. You know, we'll do things that bring momentary relief. What I've learned about myself and what I've observed in others is that we're really good at finding ways to kind of bandage or dress our wounds temporarily. You know, whether it's by way of distraction, right? Like we want to distract ourselves. Ooh, that hurt, that stung. Like I experienced this pain of rejection, or I experienced this pain of abandonment, or this pain of fear. And that resurfaces or brings back a wound that I experienced previously, or that creates a new wound. And so let me just distract myself. Let me focus on something else. Let me go look for this. Let me, you know, scroll TikTok or Instagram or Snapchat. Let me just kind of, you know, focus on my job. Let me just not really think about it. Let me just pretend that didn't happen. And that way my I don't have to deal with the pain. Or maybe we look to find a way to cover it or deal with it by way of pleasure. Oh, that didn't make me feel good. So let me find something else that makes me feel good. That hurts, so let me find something else that makes me happy. That stings, so let me find something else that tries to satisfy a vacation, a new relationship, you know, a life experience. You know, let me just find something that brings pleasure to cope or deal with this hurt. And if it's not distraction or pleasure, maybe it's by way of self-help, where we, you know, maybe read books or listen to podcasts or we try to make ourselves a better person and we think, well, you know what? Okay, let me, how do I process this situation? How do I process this hurt so that I can respond differently the next time? And we try to correct or overcorrect. But when that hurt resurfaces, when that hurt reappears, it leaves us searching for something else, desperate for something else. You see, we're really good at finding temporary fixes that treat the symptom, but don't heal the wound. Let me say that again so that you can catch it, so that you can take note of it and consider it in your own life. We're good at finding temporary fixes that treat the symptom, but don't heal the wound. And again, I go back to the fact that these are spiritual needs, and these needs were never meant to be healed by things that are so temporal, like a job change or a career or moving to a new city or starting a new relationship. They're not meant to be fulfilled by another person or another destination. They're not even meant to be satisfied by you. See, those things, anytime we make effort, anytime we attempt to address our wounds, to address our hurts in such a way, it's like the spiritual equivalent of finding out you have cancer and putting a Band-Aid on your skin. Like, you can look at that Band-Aid and think, okay, this makes me feel better, but it's not doing anything. And in the same way, when we respond in such temporal ways, looking for temporal relief or looking for that relief to that pain, that spiritual need, that spiritual wound, with a temporal response, we're not really addressing the problem. And listen, let me just say this outright so that it's clear in case there's any confusion or any lack of clarity. I want you to know, I'm not speaking this in a condemning tone. I'm speaking from a place of compassion because I do this all the time. I fall privy to this. I fall prey to this where I try to address my wounds with distraction, where I try to address my hurts with pleasure, where I try to hurt or satisfy my needs through self-help. And so this isn't a condemning voice to you, but one of compassion and empathy. And if anything, this is not a judgment against you or a judgment against me or a judgment against us. If anything, the way that we try to treat our wounds, I believe, points to something honorable within each of us, which is we all want healing. Yes, we all have wounds, but again, it doesn't matter if you're young, old, male, female, black, white, born in the U.S., born outside of the U.S., rich, poor, what your upbringing was, what your current state is. It doesn't matter what that is. We all want healing. None of us wants to suffer. Nobody wants to struggle. Nobody here wants to continue feeling this pain repeatedly and over an extended period of time. We all want healing in our lives. And the good news is The good news is that we are at the right place on the right day because the Easter story is a powerful story of healing. And newsflash, I don't know if you knew that today was Easter, but the Easter story is about a God-man named Jesus who came to this earth, lived a perfect life, free from sin, free from hurts, actually offered healing. He died on a cross to pay for our sins, to treat our wounds, to treat our hurts. And then a few days later, he rose again, defeating the grave, defeating sin and the shame that comes with it so that we could experience healing. And Jesus' crucifixion and his resurrection was about to establish something new for the world. See, when Jesus rose from the dead, it paved the way for people like you and like me to experience something that the world had never experienced before. At least not in this way. And here's what I mean by that. In most ancient societies, there was some form or some system of paying penance, some way of trying to find restitution or trying to find a way to be made whole. And in ancient Israel, there was a similar type of system known as a sacrificial system. And prior to this moment, prior to Jesus being crucified and resurrecting from the dead, there was an established way of doing things, a system in which people would follow and adhere to in order to experience or hope to experience all those core needs that we talked about, security, acceptance, love, and hope. But this system was incomplete, or rather, maybe it lacked the ability to provide long-term healing in the way that the people longed for and the way that the people wanted. It was a sort of maybe spiritual salve that provided momentary relief, but not permanent restoration. In fact, this is how one writer described it in the letter to the church in Jerusalem, and the letter or the book called Hebrews. This is how one writer described this old system. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1. The writer says this: the old system under the law of Moses was only a shadow, a dim preview of the good things to come, not the good things themselves. The sacrifices under that system were repeated again and again, year after year, but they were, notice this phrase, they were never able to provide perfect cleansing for those who came to worship. If they could have provided perfect cleansing, the sacrifices would have stopped, for the worshipers would have been purified once for all time, and their feelings of guilt would have disappeared. But verse 3 says this: but instead, those sacrifices actually reminded them of their sins, year after year. You see, to paraphrase it, what the writer was saying is not only was this system tired and repetitive and redundant, but it didn't work to bring complete healing. It didn't work to bring complete restoration. It didn't work to bring what the people were looking for. In fact, the more they did it year after year, the more it reminded them that they weren't healed, the more it reminded them that they weren't whole, the more it felt like it actually made things worse. No matter how hard the people worked, it wouldn't make them right. No matter how many sacrifices they offered, it wouldn't last. It wouldn't be permanent. They couldn't obtain the healing they desired. In fact, the more they followed this system, the more it revealed how far apart they were from the healing that they wanted and the life that they were living. Now, I don't know about you, but to me, this sounds a lot like us, doesn't it? This sounds a lot like our lives. Maybe for some of you, you feel like this is the story of your life. You feel like this is what's been taking place, that month after month, year after year, you're attempting things, you're doing things, you're seeking things, you're trying things, you're leveraging whatever you can to find healing. And it's not working. In fact, the more you do, the more effort you put in, the more money you put behind it, the more therapy you go to, the more medication you take, effort you put into trying to address it, the more it reveals to you that this is not getting better. And you've tried all that you know how to become whole, to be made right, to let that wound, to let that hurt be healed. Maybe like me, your wounds stem from your childhood. Maybe like me, you encountered your parents separating or your parents divorcing or your parents leaving. And that's produced a long line a long history of wounds. Maybe you experienced something else, some other traumatic situation, some sort of abuse. And it seems like no matter what, you can't find the healing that you need, the healing that you're desperate for. Maybe you encountered something else as an adult or something that you experienced, a relationship gone sour, the loss of a loved one. And that wound, no matter how many times you thought it was closed up, no matter how many times you thought it was healed, resurfaces, reappears, reopens. And at some point, right, at some point we just deal with all of this and we just think, man, like, I can't take it anymore. Like, something has got to change. I can't go on like this any further. I can't go on like this anymore. And if that's where you're at, if that's where you've been in recent years, if that's where you've been in recent days, if that's where you're at today, then I have good news for you, because thankfully, this is where Jesus comes in. In fact, look at how the writer of Hebrews would go on to talk about what Jesus did in contrast to the old system. In verse 20, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 20, it says this: by his death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. You see, by his death and through his resurrection, Jesus gave the world something that it had never experienced before, something that it never really had before. He made way for something that had never been offered before, something that all of us long for, but we struggle to obtain, we struggle to experience, we struggle to find. And that thing was this: restoration. Restoration. Jesus' death and resurrection made way for your restoration. You see, somewhere within us, we know that this isn't the way things are supposed to be. Somehow, whether because we were taught it in our churches or in our upbringing with our families, or whether because we look around and we see something is not right, we long for restoration, and that's exactly what that is. Restoration means to bring it back, to make it as it's supposed to be, to bring it or prepare it to where it used to be. And I don't know if you're aware of this. I don't know if you believe it. I don't even know if you're willing to accept it, but I know you need to hear it. God didn't intend for you to struggle with brokenness for all of your life. God didn't intend for you to suffer with hurts and wounds for the whole of your life. God doesn't desire for you to continue in repetitive cycles that lead to failure and greater hurt and never bring about true freedom or true healing. See, God desires for you to be a whole person. God desires for you to have a perfect and complete relationship with Him. But the wounds of this life, the ones that have been inflicted upon us, and let's be honest, the ones we've inflicted upon ourselves, have bruised us and bruised the person we're supposed to become, or the person that we're supposed to be. Yet as Jesus hung on that cross, he knew that something different was on its way. He knew that something new was coming. He knew that restoration was coming, and that you and I would soon have a clear path to experience things as they should be, not as they are. And he understood that God was preparing to make things the way he originally intended, which is why, as he suffered in the midst of excruciating pains, gasping for his final breaths, he uttered these words. John chapter 19, verse 30, Jesus said, "It is finished." And then his companion and friend John would go on to write that he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. His final words, Jesus' final words on that cross were, "It is finished." See, when Jesus said, "It is finished," what he was declaring, what he was proclaiming to the entire world for history to come is that the old way is done. That no longer do you need to look for momentary relief. No longer do you need to search for temporary fixes. No longer do you just put a band-aid on the cancer that's eating away at your soul. No longer do you have to struggle with the same issues, with the same hurts, with the same wounds over and over again to the point where you realize nothing is changing, nothing is getting better. In fact, it's only making things worse. No longer do you have to deal with the pain and the power of shame and brokenness that you could now experience experience healing and restoration. Jesus said, when it is finished, you can experience this. I have healing and restoration to offer to you and to the entirety of the whole world. See, this is the good news of Easter. This is the message. This is why Jesus was committed, why he led himself to the cross, why he was willing to go to endure something that none of us could even imagine or fathom how difficult or how painful it would be. He was willing to do that so that you and I could experience healing and restoration in our lives. So that we could step into the person and the people we're supposed to be. So that we could experience the way God intended things to be, not the way things actually are. Jesus came to heal, and he died so that he could take our pain if we were just willing to release it to him, so that he could take on the burden of our hurts and our wounds. As a child, I used to be ashamed of and embarrassed by my scars. I don't know why. I guess I just thought maybe it was like a deformity. Maybe like it made me stand out. Made me think like, oh, this isn't normal. This isn't the way it's supposed to be. Of course, as I grew older, I realized there was no need to be ashamed. There's no need to be embarrassed by these things. It's just my body's natural way of healing. In fact, my scars show that I've been healed. And similarly, I used to be ashamed of my struggles, of my hurts, of my wounds, my emotional and my spiritual wounds. I thought for some reason they made me less of a person. That maybe they made me less worthy of love from God and from others. That they were less tolerable or less acceptable than maybe other people's hurts, other people's wounds. And so for the better part of 10, 12 years, I would do everything possible to cover it up, to pretend like everything was fine, to make it appear as if like, oh yeah, he's good, he's okay, he's doing all right. But it wasn't until I exposed those wounds, that I made them open, that I realized and I learned that my wounds are actually simply just an opportunity to experience and to encounter God's healing in my life. And thankfully, by the grace of God and through the power of Jesus, I've experienced that healing. I've experienced that restoration like never before. And the same thing is offered to each and every one of you today. No matter where you've been, no matter what's encountered, what you've encountered, no matter what's taken place, no matter what's been done to you. The same level of healing and restoration is what's made available to you today. And here's the thing. It's permanent. It doesn't go away. You don't have to hustle for it. You don't have to repeat some weird tradition year after year. You can experience the healing and the restoration of Jesus so long as you're willing to say, Jesus, here are my hurts. Here are my wounds. I'm willing to let you in, and I'm willing to receive the healing that you have to offer. And here's what I know. While I'm no medical doctor or medical practitioner, I do understand that if you want to deal with an issue that plagues you and you want to address it and you want to heal it, then you have to address it at its core. And as I said earlier, these are spiritual needs. These are spiritual wounds. And you're not going to address it by taking another vacation. You're not going to address it by moving to a new house or a new apartment. You're not going to address it by changing jobs. You're not going to address it by dating a new boyfriend or having a new girlfriend. You're not going to address it by reading another book. See, if you want healing for your soul, if you want to be made whole, then the path to restoration starts and ends with Jesus. Your healing is waiting, and it's found in the person of Jesus. And today, this Easter Sunday, what I want to do is I want to invite each and every one of you to experience Jesus the healer. I want to invite you to encounter and to step into his healing power for the deepest hurts and wounds in your life.
Thanks again for joining us today on the MetaChurch podcast. To connect further with us, find us on Instagram or visit us online.